And in our personal evangelism classes, we're presently looking at studies we can use for various occasions and various levels of understanding. These are studies I have personally used throughout the country, and I have found them to be effective in on many occasions. And so I'm happy now, I'm thankful for the opportunity to present some of these studies to you. I want you to know there's no way we can cover all of the complete spectrum of beliefs and ideas that are out there. Nate just recently asked me about the Muslim religion. Is there a good study or approach for that? And there absolutely is. I do hope to add that one to the fray, because that used to be the largest religion in the world and may still be. And so we need to be ready to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ to our Muslim friends. The Catholic religion is another one of those, which is a very large religious denomination. And so ways that we can approach our Catholic friends and with the gospel of Jesus Christ that are effective. I have found this to be a very effective way to teach the gospel to our Catholic friends. But let me just briefly remind you that there are many, many lessons available, and I want you to take advantage of them. Brother Dan, in that room where the donations are being left, has cleared a place where the evangelism materials will be. We may need even more than that space eventually. But you'll find these materials when you walk into that room in the far corner. They're in your cabinet. But a number of these things will be there. This is a material that, once again, Dean and I use these lessons right here with a class we have on Monday morning. Use this many times with people. This is a class we have on Monday morning with our realtor. We've had numerous classes by the grace of God, and we're praying that will result in salvation. But this introduces the Bible. There was already a belief in the Bible as the Word of God, Jesus, the Son of God. And so we're just trying to build on some of that faith that she already has. But again, these lessons will be available. Some of this we've gone over in this class before this set. Yes, brother. Oh, I'm sorry. I did forget that. I thank you for reminding me. Now,
do I need to say all that again? I hope you heard some of that anyway. So we're looking at Bible material that has been very useful in a number of classes, and many souls have been saved by God seeding that word using this format. This one is for a person who already believes in the Bible as the Word of God, Jesus is the Son of God, and you just build upon their understanding from there. And it especially goes back to the Old Testament, shows Jesus as Savior first, and then Jesus as Lord and King, how to come into his kingdom. That's the way that I typically study with people today. And then this is a study. Someone has asked about, what about an individual who maybe doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God? And so this is a study that I call God's Unfolding Plan, how the gospel was taught first by word of mouth, and then is written down, copied, sent to other churches. And then evidences. This is evidences for the Bible and the inspiration of the Bible, looking at all the various texts that we have, Greek manuscripts. Of course, over 5,000 Greek manuscripts in whole or part of books. And it's a very helpful study to someone to build their faith in this as the Word of God. It's not just part of it, doesn't just contain it. I talked to a Methodist preacher one time. I said, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? He said, I believe it contains the Word of God. No, it is the Word of God. And Jesus, for example, he said, you know, when tempted, he said, it is written. All three times it is written. And he's going back, of course, to Deuteronomy each time, saying it is written, quoting scripture, relying on Scripture. That's the final word to Jesus. Can't do any better than Jesus. And he's quoting a translation of that Scripture, the Septuagint. And even though it's a translation, it's still the Word of God. We have a translation, it's still the Word of God. It's still the inspired Word of God, just as Jesus. We're 1,900 years from it. Jesus was approximately 1,400 years from it. And if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But this study helps build their respect for the Bible as the Word of God. Let me look at others real quickly so we can get on to our study of the hour. After someone becomes a Christian, here's a good study in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, birth, growth, and development of God's kingdom. With privilege comes responsibility. With privilege comes responsibility, our responsibility to one another on a horizontal plane. Study on one baptism. And I've used this chart countless times through the years. There's one baptism and then various ones about that one baptism. Trying to focus in on what a person needs to do to become a Christian. And this chart I used way back 1975 while I was still in university. I used this chart just showing the Bible and what man says about baptism in contrast. Just showing the two are often in contradiction to one another. Of course, the Bible is right. But study on baptism, study on the Sabbath or Sunday. Sabbath or Sunday, that will be available for those studying maybe with our Seventh-day Adventist friends, as we did in Columbia on a number of occasions. There's a study, Know Your Bible course, 6 lessons here. Very, very helpful information, easy to use. You just read through the lessons with your student. And you read and give them opportunity to read. And there's questions following each section in the Know Your Bible classes. The first one is understanding the Bible, sin and the blood of Jesus Christ. Number 2, what must I do to be saved? Number 3, the New Testament church. Number 4, denominationalism. Number 5, and then number 6 is a lesson on baptism. But most of us can do this. This is a good way to get started, is in lessons like this. And so there's plenty of those back there, and those will also be available. We also have that in Spanish. Brother Angel, you've seen these lessons here, and hopefully we can use these, Lord willing, when we go door to door down the future. Good series of lessons. Jesus Christ is the way. I think there's 6 lessons here as well. We've not copyrighted. We print as many as we want and hand these out with an introduction to the congregation here, Lord willing, door to door. And maybe the first 2 out, and then we'll send 3 and 4 and then 5 and 6. If they follow up, Jesus is the way. And there's even a DVD series out. I haven't used this too much, but brethren have said this has been helpful in some situations, searching for the truth. There's 5 lessons here. I've listened to it, and it's pretty good. I just have a method I prefer. But you just have to have a DVD player, put it in there, and they can even watch it for themselves. But I would prefer that you be there to help with the studies. But that's available. And this lesson we will do right after the one we're doing tonight. At some point, brother and sister, there needs to be a good, easy to understand lesson on basic Bible authority. Basic Bible authority. Building respect for the Bible as the Word of God. And how much respect God expects us to have in his word. And this is a study I've used many, many times through the years to help build that respect. It's not a study on command, example, necessary inference or something like that. It's just building respect for the word of God, or the Bible as the word of God. And we could all use more of that. Okay, tonight, let's go ahead and get to the study that we started last week. And we'll Lord willing, finish this study. Matthew and Michael are right now involved in a study with 4 Hispanic young men. Angel, you're welcome to come on board anytime, brother. And every Tuesday night, and 3 more than are there commonly more than the other man, But this is a study that's been going on now for about 2 months. And it's you know, it's slow, but it's gaining ground. And so in that study, we're talking to young men who all former Catholics. They're not practicing. I don't think any of them are practicing. You're going to meet a lot of people that are a part of this religion. And so we're trying to present it. Eventually, we haven't done this study yet, but Lord willing, this will be one of our studies eventually. And that is truths from a Catholic Bible. Now, what we're doing in this particular study in opening eyes of faith is we're using a Catholic Bible. This one is the Douay Confraternity and a Catholic Catechism. We're showing the contrast between the two, night and day, between the two. What Catholic dogma and doctrine is very, very different from what their own Bible says. Now, these are the two that I commonly use, but I have these right here that I want to mention to you. This is the most common catechism used today for the Catholic Church, and it has the approval of the Catholic Church inside of it. There have been at least 8 million of these printed around the world in various languages. But it's a catechism of the Catholic Church. And what's great, easy about this is you have a subject index in the back if you want to find whatever the subject may be, transubstantiation or mass or whatever it may be. You can just look in the back and it'll give you the page number where it is. So this is a catechism that's most commonly used. And here's another Bible that's more commonly used than the Douay Confraternity. It's the New American Bible. This also has the approval of the Catholic Church. There's another one called the New Jerusalem Bible. It's commonly used, but any one of those to make that contrast between the two. Now, do you have the sheet that I handed out to you last week? And if you do, please get that out. And let's go ahead and finish going through that sheet. I have a few extra of those if you don't have one. Anyone need one of those sheets from last week? Okay. Let me give that to you here. Let me get started here. Thank you, brother. Raise your hand if you need this study. You'll have to have this or something like this in doing this study. And some of these notes in here are from a book by Luther Martin, not Martin Luther, but Luther Martin, who did extensive study on this subject. And owe a lot to his research, thorough research on this subject. He was a very thorough student. And if he quoted something, you knew it was exactly the way it was written. But that's a part of this material. Okay, let's go ahead and thank you, Dan. The left column is the catechism, the Catholic catechism, an official dogma. And the right column is a Catholic Bible. Whether you're using the Douay Confraternity or the New Jerusalem Bible, it will not matter. Thank you. So confess your sins to the priest. The catechism says, I must tell my sins to the priest to get absolution. But the Bible, yea, the quote here from the Catholic Bible is, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And all of us are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. And so we can all go before God as Christians and offer our spiritual sacrifices unto him. Jesus Christ made Peter the head of the church on earth. The Bible, of course, says, yea, the Catholic Bible, God gave Christ authority in heaven and on earth over everything, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Christ has all authority. Call church leaders father. That's in the context of exalting men, exalting them. But Jesus, in that sense, said, call no man on earth your father. One is your father who is in heaven. Matthew 23 and verse 9. Bishops must not marry. That's the fourth point on that first page. The law of celibacy is of ecclesiastical origin, may therefore be abrogated. So as a rule, the hierarchy, the clergy, there's a clergy layman system in the Catholic Church. We've already seen the Bible teaches no such thing. All are priests, 1 Peter 2:9, according to the gospel. But there is a clergy layman system in the Catholic Church. And as a rule, the clergy are not to marry. The doctrine of celibacy. They will make exceptions. They will make exceptions if you are converted into Catholicism and want to become a priest. You're already married. They at times will make exceptions. So I just wanted you to see that. But let's just go to the Bible and clear the matter up completely. A bishop must be married. It's not that there's an exception to be made. 1 Timothy 3, a bishop must be married, but once, rule his children well, have them under control. Sounds like celibacy is not taught in the Bible. Turn the next page, please. There's different opinions as to whether or not Peter was married. Different opinions about that. Well, let's clear it up once and for all. Matthew 8, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. So Peter had a mother-in-law, which means he was married. Men may bow down before the Pope and kiss his ring. This is from Catholic Encyclopedia. The kissing of the Pope's foot, characteristic act of reverence by which all the faithful do honor to him as vicar of Christ, representative of Christ, is found early in the 8th century. But then we have Peter, remember in Acts 10, and this is Catholic Bible quote now. It's not just New American Standard or King James or New King James. This is the Catholic Bible. Peter told Cornelius when he tried to do that, stand up, for I too am just a man, he said. That's what Peter said. And then John, the Apostle John in Revelation, when he fell down to worship an angel, it says, the angel said, don't do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets and of those who heed the words of the book. Worship God. Only God is to be worshiped. Observes the Catholic Church observes special holy days, Lent, All Saints Day, Feast of Assumption, Immaculate Conception, and so on and so forth. Paul said in Galatians 4 to those who were binding such days, you observe days and months, seasons and years. I fear for you. Perhaps I've labored over you in vain. That's Catholic Bible. Teaches repetitions of set prayers, Our Father and the Hail Mary. Of course, Jesus said, when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. I know one young lady who read that passage, and that was the eye opener for her. She said, well, we do this all the time. We use just constant repetition of prayers. Our Father, Hail Mary, and so on. The Apostles' Creed. And so maybe there are other things we're doing that are not according to the Bible. So she started searching and pretty much studied her way out of Catholicism. But so that is a big deal. That's why I included it on here. Go to the next page, if you will. Let's look at some other things that are of interest when studying with our Catholic friends. And again, Lord willing, I hope to present all of these things soon. Melissa and Matthew, he knows we're going to be presenting these things soon in that class. But at the bottom of this sheet, there's this quote. And I looked it up also in this catechism, and it's exactly right. In this Catholic catechism, 787 AD, the Second General Council of Nicaea approved the veneration of icons and statues. And the reason I have that down there is because in a number of signs, a number of areas where they have listed the Ten Commandments, maybe in the church buildings or on an outside engraving of granite, a lot of times that second commandment is gone. It's just not there, which is you should not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of that which is in heaven, the earth above or the earth beneath. And not all cases, but in many cases it is gone. And the reason is because in 787, the Second General Council of Nicaea approved the veneration of icons and statues. Well, I believe the Bible. Let God be true. And every man a liar. That's pretty much an eye opener for a lot of people. So let's go to the next page. I want you. How can the Catholic Church do this? I mean, how can they be so different. The Bible, the Catholic Bible, and the Catechism, the official doctrines of the church. Well, here's how. Here's how. To enable her, this is from Explanation of Catholic Morals, page 26, to enable her, the Catholic Church, to carry out this divine plan, she, the church, makes laws. Laws purely ecclesiastical, but laws that have the same binding force as the divine laws themselves. For Catholics, therefore, there is no practical difference between God's law and the law of the church. Pretty strong statement, isn't it? So they believe the Holy Spirit resides in the church. And you have the Pope and the other hierarchy who receive the message from God, and that's given to the church. Now, the Pope doesn't always consider himself, don't get the wrong idea, infallible. It's only when he's on the throne, ex cathedra, he's infallible. But they do believe that and then during that circumstance, he's supposed to be infallible in his conclusions. But they believe the Holy Spirit resides in the church. Yes, Eddie? Well, what when you're talking about ecclesiastical law, you're talking about who has the right or who has the authority to teach certain things on whatever the subject may be, and who has the authority according to the Catholic Church to determine what is the law of God and what is not the law of God. Who has the authority? The church does. That's what they believe. And so if you are reading the Bible one day, you're taught this from a child, and you come across, don't use meaningless repetition, you know, and you say, well, that seems like a contradiction. We do that every Sunday. And you're told then by the priest that the church, they are the authority, and you listen to them, and whatever interpretation they assign to that passage, that is the right interpretation. And so even if you come up with a different idea, people have different opinions, but bottom line is they believe the church determines the law. The church determines what's right or wrong, good or bad. And it's not the Bible per se. We're going to look at some quotes in just a moment that'll prove that to you. Say, no way they believe that. That is true. It's the preachers, the clergy, the clerical hierarchy that determine truth for the members. Okay. Look at some other quotes and let me show that to you. Go to the next page, if you would. This is an eye-opening quote, I've got it well documented here. This is an excerpt from an address by the cardinals in the Roman Church to Pope Pius III, which is preserved in the National Library of Paris, folio number 1068, volume 2, page 650, 651. Of all the advice we can offer your holiness. So that tells you the context. The Pope Pius, is asking for counsel from these cardinals concerning people reading the Bible. Okay. And what is the counsel they give about people reading the Bible? Here it is. We must open your eyes well and use all possible force in the matter, namely to permit the reading of the gospel as little as possible in all the countries under your jurisdiction. Let the very little part of the gospel suffice, which is usually read in mass. Let no one be permitted to read more. So long as people will be content with the small amount, your interests will prosper. As soon as the people want to read more, your interests will fail. The Bible is the book which more than any other has raised against the tumults and tempests by which we have almost perished. In fact, if one compares the teaching of the Bible with what takes place in our churches, he will soon find discord and will realize our teachings are often different from the Bible and oftener still contrary to it. What do you think of that? That's pretty night and day, isn't it? That's pretty obvious. So the church has final authority, but they admit, you know, there's plain contradictions. Now, this is an old quote, but as we've seen, there are plain contradictions. Yes, brother.
And this poll is just 2 years after Wycliffe had published the first English translation of the Bible, the complete translation of the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's actually about 10 or 15 years before, the one that mentioned this part of the state because of the fact that he published the Bible.
Yeah.
English wasn't the only language.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were very concerned.
Yeah.
That people were starting to get the Bible in a language they could read.
Yeah.
Instead of Latin.
Yeah. A little more of the history there. You had Wycliffe in the 14th century, and all the copies were handwritten. He had his followers called Lollards, and they would write the Bible as all as New Testament. And they would write it and they would hand it out to the common man so he could read it for himself. It was the first English translation. And it was from the Vulgate, from the Latin Vulgate. So not as significant as Tyndale, but it was the first English translation so that people could read it for themselves. So, yeah, it's out there. People are starting to read it. The Catholic Church sees this pot starting to boil and brew. And so you have things like this being written. And then Tyndale comes out with his in 1526. That's the first English translation from the Greek, which is amazing. And the King James translation and a number of others really are from Tyndale. It's from Tyndale. They borrow a lot of the wording right out of Tyndale. King James translation is about 75% from the Tyndale translation. But in any case, yeah, they're starting to read it. And so there's a great awakening taking place. A great reformation taking place. And it really takes off after this. I mean, it really moves on after this. You got Calvin and Luther who'll be coming up and a number of others helping to move that reformation. Those guys all knew one another, by the way. Tyndale, Calvin, Luther, they all knew one another. Okay, we're about out of time. Let's go to the next page because we are going to we'll have to go as far as we can today and that'll be it for this. This next page, these are, as I said, quotes from Luther Martin. Just quotes, you know, with the Catholic Church showing or stating their authority. You listen to us. If you see something viable that's against us, you listen to us first. That's why it's so important to do a study like this, which builds respect for the Bible as the Word of God. And usually before I ever do this study, then I've done maybe two or three studies like this, okay, that the Bible is the standard, not the Catholic Church. And so listen to the Word of God. Let God be true, every man a liar. And so for time's sake, just know these quotes are quotes from the Catholic Church saying we have the authority and more than your understanding of the Bible. And the last, I did a lesson one time years ago. It was actually in Taylorsville Road in Louisville. I did a series on evangelism many years ago, and there was a doctor there who was also a very devout member of the Catholic Church. And after the study, he was upset, and he said, you can't say that the Catholic Church burned the Bible in public. I didn't have my materials with me at the time. I've always now, when I do that study, I've got my materials with me. I always have my materials with me. And I got some of the evidence right here to prove that any Bible text other than the Latin Vulgate, they wanted the Latin Vulgate, Jerome's translation of the fourth century, but any other effort to translate the Bible other than Latin Vulgate was anathema. And there's plenty of proof to show that they did that. They definitely did that. Very late, actually, in history. They're still burning Bibles very late in history. You can prove that beyond the shadow of a doubt. They did not want people reading the Bible. Okay, we're going to have to stop there. Lord willing, we're going to go over this study on authority. Lord, this study, basically go over this study next week, a few other studies, and then move on to ways to get prospects. Thank you for being a part of the study tonight. Let's have one more word of prayer, if we may, and then we'll be dismissed with that prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time to look into your word, to prepare ourselves, Lord, to save other people. Search our hearts, Lord, and know that we love you, we love our fellow man, and the only reason we're studying these things is so that we can prepare ourselves to show that love in saving souls. Help us, Lord, to have the proper reverence for your word and to have the proper attitude of love, gentleness toward our fellow man, to approach him in the same way we would want to be approached. Lord, help us to be wise in that. Lord, bless our efforts to save others and to bring them out of darkness into light, to out of the kingdom of the world into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus, out of sin into forgiveness. Lord, bless our efforts and all the